Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, it is a Thursday at 3 o'clock, which means it's time for the TV Power Hour. Teron Davenport presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, how are you today?
Hey, man, you know what it is. I woke up this morning, so guess what? It's a W, baby.
It is a W, and the mini camp is over. The off-season program, albeit different than a normal off-season program, but much more invasive than last year's off-season program, is officially over. The Titans are on their way home, and the next time you hear from Mike Vrabel or you hear from any of the players, unless it's at some celebrity, charity, whatever, is going to be when training camp is started, the pads get put on, and we get ready for the 2021 NFL season. So, Teron, I'm not going to waste anybody else's time any longer. What did you think of the mandatory minicamp? What did you see? What stood out? What were your takeaways? What did you want to see that you didn't get to see? Just lay it all there out for us.
Yeah, well, you know what? Just getting to be out there, it's like that song, Just Like Heaven, man. I was just happy to be out there, period. But as far as what I saw, I mean, there's a few things. You know, DeShone Kizer, he continues to impress. I like the way his decision-making showed and just, you know, he was quick with the football, taking it to different areas of the field. You know, he hit a couple guys. Mason Kinsey, it was a beautiful drop shot in the corner of the end zone. That was yesterday. And he fit one into a tight window to one of the tight ends. Oh, I can't remember his name off the top. Number 49, he's on a rookie tryout. Not tryout, but he's on undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. But it was just, you know, I like seeing Kizer – play with some type of confidence, because all the things that this man has been through and he's still standing, you know, after 4 years of complete nonsense, you know, some self-inflicted and others situational. He played well, you know, and then for a guy who was stuck, as Pat O'Hara, the QB coach, said about last year, he was stuck. Just like it was just the two of them practicing for most of the time he was with the Titans, so he didn't get to be with the team. So I was happy to see Kizer out there. Jack Rabbit Jenkins, I want to get into him a little bit later. He was impressive, just his aggressiveness. I absolutely love the way every single rep, even if the receiver caught the football, he was fighting with him through the tuck. You know, and that's something that you develop those habits. And, I mean, at his age, right, to still be doing that and competing just on a snap in and snap out basis the way he does is really refreshing to see. And that's going to rub off on the young stunners like, you know, Caleb Farley when he comes out, Elijah Molden, Christian Fulton. You know, those guys are all going to benefit from seeing that. So I think that's a positive thing. I was impressed with Marcus Johnson, a guy I continue to talk about from my days covering the Eagles. And he just is one thing that's consistent. He catches the football every time it's thrown his way. Even when he wasn't getting looks, I watched in red zone 7-on-7 yesterday, and he was open a few times. You know, Tannehill didn't go his way for whatever reason, but I still was impressed with that. Anthony Firkser, he had a nice catch yesterday, just kind of like you can't really say the routes, but, you know, he just kind of released, and he ran a seam route, basically, and Tannehill found him. So that's good to see. I think there's a lot to be excited about, but again, this is still just shorts and t-shirts with helmets. I will also say this, I really, really like the communication. You know, it's something that I've touched on before, you know, and Kevin Byard is doing an excellent job. Imani Hooker, they're calling stuff out, you know, they see motion, you know, they're calling formations, they're calling all types of things, and there's a lot of talking, and that's what you want, because last year that was such an extreme issue. That's really positive. As far as things that, you know, I would like to see more of, I will say this. I want to see more Christian Fulton. You know I'm very high on Fulton. I feel that he has tons of talent. It was unfortunate for whatever reason he was not practicing, you know, the 2 days that we got to see minicamp. Would definitely like to see more of him, you know, because when he was out there in OTAs, he picked off Ryan Tannehill once, you know, so there's promise there. A.J. Brown, I would like to see A.J. out there. You know, I would like to have gotten to see him and Julio Jones on the field together. I mean, who wouldn't, right? You know, you got Shaq and Kobe, right? You know, Mike and Scotty. You got that type of tandem. You want to see that. And I actually asked Ryan Tannehill about that. You know, he got a kick out of it. But the thing that I like that he said is, you know, there's all types of potential with that duo, but it's not going to mean anything if they can't all get on the same page. So Those are just some of my quick off the top of the head observations.
Julio, what did you see? I mean, I know that you had seen Julio last week, but that was kind of a – it's funny because you hear about the travel that Julio had. He went back to Atlanta and came back so he could practice last week. This time he was probably fully in Nashville, had been in the meetings, had been on the practice field. What did you see out of Julio on the 2 days?
Yeah, you continue to see just how naturally he catches the football, right? And actually, Chris Sanders and I, we broke down some of his drills. I saw a progression. You know, even with a guy like Julio Jones, you're seeing progression after a few practices. And I think initially, right, we talked about it, Chris and I. You see on the box drill, he was a little wide of the cone, right, as opposed to hugging the cone. You know who does that drill really, really well? Mason Kinsey. And I'm going to mention his name a few times because he's a guy to watch. But he was really good on the box drill, just hugging the cone, very tight to it. It was just like watching Adam Humphries in a lot of drills last year. They're basically the same type of player. But Julio Jones, you know, the thing that I like about him is just the way, you know, he sells his routes really well. You see him running them with a lot of authority and just confidence. And then, again, it goes back to, like I said, just the way he catches the football. I love how much ground he covers. I did not realize that his stride was the way it is, but it's two steps, and he's covering 5 yards. So I think that's really good. And just watching him, man, it was exciting. The thing that I like – well, there's two things I like the most about seeing Julio Jones out there. And the first thing was just the level of communication. Again, that word, communication. The level of communication that he had, not only with Coach Todd Downing, with Coach Rob Moore, but also the other receivers. And you see him just talking to the receivers about stuff at the top of the route, at the catch point, and just giving them little nuggets. But then you also see Todd Downing, you know, talking to him, okay, you know, on this route, you break this way, you know, you go this way. And Rob Moore just continuing to impart that veteran knowledge that he has. You know, Rob Moore played in the league. He has a really good understanding of that position too. And then on top of all of it, Ryan Tannehill, their communication. What did I say they needed to do? Get on the same page, right? That was Tannehill's words. Well, after various plays, you know, Tannehill's going up to Julio Jones and saying, hey, you know, you got to do this. This is what I want. This look and those type of things. So there's a lot to be encouraged by there. I will also say this. Dylan Raidens, I'm impressed with him. Again, look, man, it's helmet, shorts, and T-shirts. But the fact that he's able to step in at so many positions. I mean, he's not just working at – like, he's all over the place. I put it that way. And he's doing well. Like, they're not having to go to him and say, hey, you know what, on this you should have stepped there or any of that stuff. So that's showing a grasp of the playbook.
Do you think on the Raidens front – and I do want to get to the leadership angle here in a second, but on the Raidens front, do you think that he could be the day one starter at right tackle, or do you think it's more of an idea of – hey, let's have him be kind of the ace in the whole backup. Guard goes down, Dylan goes in. Tackle goes down, Dylan goes in, and kind of develop him as a rookie from that standpoint.
Yeah, I think he's going to continue to develop as a rookie, but I will put a cap on week 4 as when he, no later than that, he's going to be the starter. You know, I really feel that way. And Kendall Lamb is out there working. At the spot right now, Tyson Brelo, we haven't seen him, outside a little bit of side work. But I think eventually Raidens is going to take that job. And I think when you look at just what the Titans have offensive line-wise, right, you have obviously Keith Carter, who, let me also say this, all of Nashville, like almost every Titan fan out there owes that man an apology. Because and you owe him an apology as well, because you were calling for his job. And that man has done an excellent job bringing these young guys along, especially Nate Davis, you know. But he's continuing to do that with Dylan Raidens, and you're seeing the work. So you got him, you got Mike Sullivan, you got another assistant coach. I cannot pronounce his last name, but he came over from – he was a head coach at Wagner, and he's helping the offensive line as well. So – it's all hands on deck, man, with that. So I think it's really good for a young guy like Raidens to be able to come in and learn.
Yeah, I was not a Keith Carter fan. Then they turned it around in 2019. I thought Carter did a better job, honestly, last year when you're dealing with a third-string left tackle. then I thought that was a fantastic job. Then when the pandemic hit, I found out we lived in the same neighborhood. So, you know, big fan.
You're lucky he didn't catch you walking your dog or something, man. We might not, you know. He might have gave you a throat punch and you wouldn't be talking.
This was when everything was shut down. I was walking outside. He was walking outside. You know, it's a long story. Anywho, so I do want to know about the rookies, TD. We'll get to that on the other side. And kind of your thought on, I know Caleb Farley wasn't out there. And I still kind of view Fulton as a rookie. And you brought up that he wasn't out there for those 2 days. But what did you see from the young guys? And I know you were impressed by Raidens, but we've also got Elijah Molden, Monty Rice, Des Fitzpatrick, Rashad Weaver. What did you think about those guys? We'll get to that next. Also, get your questions in for TD. 615-737-1025 is our phone number onto the text line. We will have our questions for TD at the end of the hour, as we always do on the TD Power Hour, which, of course, is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company. They're online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Your next chance to participate tomorrow morning at 9:45. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
I know not every rookie has been out there, some dealing with injuries, but have you liked the progression over the last couple of weeks of these younger guys?
You know, Kayla, I would make sure that, you know, I wouldn't always assume that just because they're not out there that they're dealing with injuries, but, you know, that could always change based on, you know, certain situations. So a lot of them, some of them haven't been out there, and they are, there have been improvement, and it's been really cool to see this group kind of come together. They were in front of the team, you know, as kind of a warm-up rookie skit today. Some of them got up there that really hadn't said a whole lot and sang some pretty good songs. No good joke tellers yet, but, you know, that was good for these guys just to get up there and, you know, kind of see what training camp's going to look like, you know, when those vets ask them to get up and perform. And, you know, just the whole program that we run with the rookies is exciting to watch them develop and become more comfortable each and every day. And that's all we're hoping for, is that they continue to improve and get more comfortable with how we do things, and they're and starting to develop a role in this football team.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel talking about the rookies, but not really saying how much they've developed on the field or what he thinks about them or things of that magnitude. So Teron Davenport's with us, TD, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online, freedomtireguys.com. TD, what did you think of the rookies? And again, Caleb Farley not out there with that back injury, and Christian Fulton, who I kind of consider a rookie, not out there for the 2 days of minicamp. And also, did you read anything to what Vrabel said in that question when he said, hey, Kayla, I wouldn't assume if a guy's not out there, it's because of injury? What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to hear that, because, you know, you do automatically associate injury with a guy not being out there, but, you know, some guys are on like rest programs and things like that. Some guys, you know, you have them doing conditioning, but not actually practicing. So I don't think, you know, I'm not going to dig too deep into it, but I think it's a reasonable comment that coach made. Now, as far as these rookies, you know, you mentioned Christian Fulton. He's kind of like the Ben Simmons type rookie. You know what I mean? When he won Rookie of the Year, not like that type. But I actually have been impressed with a guy that you didn't mention before the break, and that's Racy McMath. Mm-hmm. And I saw him at one of the practices, nice over-the-shoulder catch with Chris Jackson in coverage. It was about like a 20-yard. It was like right from the 20-yard line when they were doing red zone stuff. I saw him make a couple catches over the middle. He and Logan Woodside seem to have something developing, right? And Woodside threw him one that was a little bit behind him, but he reached back and snapped it and turned up field. And I was impressed with that because, you know, everything that I kind of gathered from him was that he's pretty much just a straight line runner. You know, so he'll be a really good guy as a gunner on coverage team, you know, that kind of thing. But he actually showed some potential catching the football. So I was impressed with that. Monty Rice, a couple practices ago, because he was out for mini camp, but the last OTA He actually came up with a pretty nice interception in low red zone. So we're talking like 10 yards and in. And he got a nice interception there. I'm really intrigued by him. I want to continue to watch him. And I'm going to tell you why, Jarrett, because this is a pick that, you know, I kind of, you remember when it happened. I'm like,
we lost our minds.
No, not we, you. Yeah, it got to a point, and Chris and I, we couldn't do the show because it was just all about just watching your reactions.
I want to say, I lost my mind. Chris egged it on. You know, I think Chris was definitely rowing the boat as far as egging me. When I saw the Monty Rice pick come down, and we were seeing the picks before they were happening on TV, so we couldn't on the broadcast. We didn't know, oh my God, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But when I saw on your computer Monty Rice, I'm like, who is that? What are they doing? And to your point, though, about that, I do wonder kind of what is the plan with Monty Rice. They obviously like Monty Rice if they took him there.
Yeah.
And we know that they've got two middle linebackers on expiring contracts.
Yep.
So I look at Monty Rice kind of in that Keith Bullock mode, which is you're not going to start this year, but your time will come.
Mm-hmm. And they got a darn good one in David Long Jr. I don't care how small he is. You know, that guy, he does the thing too. So I think their core there is pretty good. Jim Haslett, he has his work cut out, you know, to get all that to mesh. But, yeah, Monty Rice, you know, he's a guy I wanted to watch intently. It's kind of tough because we can't really see individual period as much because it's, like, towards the middle of the field, so you can't, like, focus in on it like I want to. But, yeah, obviously he's someone I watch. Elijah Molden, you know how I feel about him. Mm-hmm. And I'll say I haven't been impressed, but, I mean, like, it's shorts and T-shirts with helmets. He's still a good player. I don't care what anybody says or what he's done so far. He's a good player, and he will contribute. In fact, I'll put it out there. He's going to be their nickel when they start. You know, week one, he's going to be the nickel, and I'm saying that right now in June, and that's what I'm saying. I'm going to stick to that. The thing that I do like about what's going on with him is there's a lot of instructional, just details being given to him. I watch him along with Anthony Midget, and he's just standing, Anthony Midget, the DB coach, he's just standing there with him a lot of times during 7-on-7, you know, when he's not rotating in, during team period when he's not rotating in, and he's getting that end zone view, and there's a lot of interaction back and forth. I like to see that, and I will say, you know, just from talking to Molden, I know for a fact that, you know, the IQ that he has is really impressive. The Titans love it. And I know that he's a guy that sees things really well, and he picks things up really well. He already knows the scheme for the most part, but it's just a good onboarding process for him. Trying to think who else. You know, we haven't seen much from Weaver. You know, he's out there, you know, but you haven't seen anything that's be like, oh, wow. And I wouldn't really expect that at this point because, again, the guys up front, they don't have pads on, so you can't really see anything from that perspective.
What about Des Fitzpatrick? You brought up Racy McMath. What about Fitzpatrick? You know, there was kind of a role you felt like, or at least I felt like maybe there was a role for him before the Julio trade. Now it kind of feels like he and Batson and some of these other guys, you brought up Mason Kinsey, Nick Westbrook-Akina, Cody Hollister, they're kind of all going to be battling. I think Fitzpatrick is obviously going to make the roster where other guys may not. But I do wonder kind of what we should expect out of Des Fitzpatrick.
That's a good question. He's been relatively quiet during the team and 7-on-7 periods. But I will say I've seen improvement just as far as a different comfort level with the drills. And it seems like he's really getting settled in. I know that he's a really good just like as far as develop because he worked with one of the best receiver coaches, you know, actually at your school, Louisville. Gunter Brewer, you know, and Gunter Brewer has coached in the league for quite some time. He coached Randy Moss at West Virginia. He coached, Marshall in West Virginia. He coached Dez Bryant. You know, there's a lot of guys he's worked with. But I'm seeing Des Fitzpatrick a lot more comfortable with the drills, and he looks faster and smoother. So those are all good things. He's caught the football really well since rookie minicamp, so that's a solid, but again, he's been quiet in team 7-on-7.
What did you make of, we talked about how Christian Fulton is kind of a rookie, even though he's not. What about Darrington Evans in this camp? I know there had been some movement with him at wide receiver. I mean, I do think that one of the keys to the Titans' offense is going to be when he comes into the game on those third and longs with all the passing options they have. If he is as explosive as he showed he could be in the little spurts he played last year, that could be a huge weapon, you know, to kind of aid what you have with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Josh Reynolds.
No doubt. And he's not so much working at receiver like during periods. I mean, the potential for him to do that is there, whether it be the slot, lining up outside. But during individual period, you know, there was a stretch where he worked with Coach Rob Moore and the receivers. And he looked very smooth, looked very natural doing that, which is a good thing. I think he's the guy that just gives Todd Downing another option. When I was covering the Eagles, I remember actually 2017, they got a guy by the name of Donnell Pumphrey out of San Diego State, and they drafted him. They had Darren Sproles there, and they had a package. They called it their pony package, and they would have both of those guys on the field, and they would motion Pumphrey to outside over top of the numbers. You know, you get him matched up against a linebacker. And I remember one time actually – you know, he did a nice little move and made Michael Kendricks fall, who at that time was a very solid linebacker. You know, he started for a Super Bowl team. You know, I could see the Titans doing something like that, right? You know, motioning him out. As a matter of fact, funny story, it's a lot like back in 1989 when I used to play Tecmo Bowl. I used to use the 49ers and Amp Lee, and they had pass three, and Amp Lee would motion out over top of the numbers and do just that, get a matchup against a linebacker and do his thing. So I could see them doing that with Evans. He's a very capable pass catcher and also is a third down guy. You know, it's another compliment to Derrick Henry. So I like what they're doing with him, and he offers a lot.
TD, it is time for the TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. I think Mike Vrabel maybe hinted at something today in his press conference. I want TD's thoughts on that coming up next. And, of course, get your questions in for TD, and we will make sure we have a full segment for you guys to hit up the expert, the man, Teron Davenport, ESPN, with us. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. You all know that I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and I love betting the NBA playoffs on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You'll be in hoops heaven betting all the action because there are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. New and existing users can bet risk-free on the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet the same game parlay risk-free once every week. So that's money line, point spread, first basket score, go small, win big with the same game parlay. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with the promo code JGM to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only, and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issue is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
I know Clewiston is very close to Pahokee, so I'm sure you're very familiar with the dog that Jack Rabbit has in him. How much can he help influx that mentality into this young secondary?
You know, just talking to him, I can just see it and feel it. And, you know, he's going to be a leader on the field, and he just has that mentality that you want as a DB. I know, you know, he's 10 minutes from my hometown, so I know what that's about, the way – you know, guy comes up, just had to work and scratch and claw, earned everything he's, you know, gotten in his life, and just still has that mentality. And I was talking to him this morning. I just love it. I think it's going to bring a lot to our group. And hopefully, you know, he can mentor some of these younger guys and we can feed off on them as well.
There you go. That was Anthony Midget, the defensive backs coach for the Titans, on Janoris Jenkins. TD, you're not the only person that has said that he stood out during the mini camp, but right there, leadership, a big element that he was talking about. Martini, what did you think about Janoris Jenkins, a.k.a. the Jackrabbit?
Yeah, Rabbit, as Mike Vrabel called him. I can't say that without laughing. Rabbit actually is leading by example. And I think, you know, when I asked Coach about that today, you know, he mentioned how he was able to hop right in there and just fill his role. And, I mean, that left corner spot, barring, God forbid, injury, is pretty much set with him there. So I think they're in really good shape there. And just, again, it goes back to what I said in our first segment together was just the way that he plays, the way that he attacks every rep. I think that's really critical for not only the younger guys, but for the other veterans to see it. You know, for the guys like Breon Borders to see. I think it's important for them to see him going out there and approaching it the way that he does, even though he's an established veteran in this league, you know. And I feel that just from a knowledge perspective, this man has been in the league for quite some time. He has a good understanding. There really isn't much offensively that a team hasn't presented to him, you know. And then also in watching during some of the install period, I saw him and Kevin Byer communicating really well, some of the switch-offs and things like that. And you constantly see Coach Midget giving him the thumbs up, you know, telling him just using vague terms that was a good read or good switch-off, et cetera. This is what this team absolutely needs to see, and it's setting a foundation for discipline and coverage and for being able to go against things that murdered him last year.
Can I tell you the one thing that bothers me about Janoris Jenkins and the leadership angle here? That he parked his Rolls Royce in the South Economy lot at the Atlanta airport.
Let me ask you a question, though, because everybody is pointing to that. But, you know, if you pay for parking, right? I mean, like, the least you could expect is for your vehicle to be there. Because what did you do? You paid for the opportunity to park it there.
Sure, it was South Economy, not South Free.
Right. So, I mean, my whole thing is, like, if regardless of what, you know, I have an Audi, you know what I mean? It's not a Rolls Royce, but, I mean, if I park my Audi at B&A and I pay to park it at B&A, daggone, it better be there when I get back.
No, I'm
with you on
that. I
think that's the bigger picture with all of this.
I'm with you on that, but if I got a Rolls Royce, South Economy, first of all, I don't like anything about the Atlanta airport. Like that airport is like a nightmare to me.
Yeah.
So the Rolls Royce in the South Economy lot, I'm like, dude, just pay someone to drive you in your Rolls Royce to the airport and pick you up from the airport.
But
in
it's
your
all
Rolls-Royce.
Relative, right? A Rolls Royce to a guy with all that money is like an Audi to me. Well, no, I can't say that because I love my Audi. It's like a you know, it's just not. It's not the same. We don't have the same paradigms as he does when it comes to looking at a Rolls Royce. You know, I sure. think, you know, you got to also remember, like, who knows? He could have been running late. Like, maybe he was running late and couldn't get an Uber. But I think the again, the big picture, that man paid to park his car somewhere. and I mean, me personally, you know, if someone paid me to park their Rolls Royce in my lot, guess what? I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that thing is protected because I'm like, yo, this man is trusting me with his baby.
I will say this, though. Like, this only rivals a story that I heard one time that Allen Iverson's mom, that he bought her, like, a fully loaded Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And you may have heard this story.
I did.
TD, that he bought his mom a fully loaded Mercedes. She parked it at the airport. She went on a vacation, came back, couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. So she just went and bought another Mercedes.
Yeah.
Well, and that is when I hear that the Rolls Royce got stolen from the South Economy lot of the Atlanta airport. My first thought was Atlanta airport. That was, you know, where a lot of dreams go to die at the Atlanta airport. One question for you, TD, though, in all seriousness, on the secondary front. And I know that you can't tell us who played where at minicamp, but because Farley wasn't there and because Fulton wasn't there, one thing I was wondering is, what do we anticipate, if everybody's healthy, the secondary will look like? Would you have Farley and Jenkins outside with Fulton inside, or do you think they view Fulton as an outside guy and they want Molden at the nickel spot?
I think day one is going to be Fulton at right corner from, you know, what I would predict just based on some of the things I've heard and some of the things I've seen. That's not, I'm not saying like he worked specifically at right corner. I'm not saying that, but I would think that that's what it's going to be with Molden in the slot. And obviously, as we mentioned, Rabbit at left corner. Farley, though, I feel will eventually take over that right corner spot, and you'll just see a rotation, you know, a rotation of Molden and Fulton in the slot. Molden, you know, actually, I think he's going to get some time at safety. You know, I know he's capable of doing that. He's not working there, but I believe at some point, you know, in some of their sub packages, they'll use him. Or even it's like a dime linebacker. You know, that's something that he and Dane Cruikshank could play really well. But I'll also say, and you know, I always compare him to Buda Baker. Well, I talked to Jimmy Lake for a feature I have coming out on Sunday. Jimmy Lake he was the DC at Washington. He's not a head coach, but he and Elijah Molden have a very close relationship. And when I talked to him, I mentioned my Buda Baker comparison. He was like, man, that is probably the best comparison, and it is as accurate as can be. It's just he's a little bit bigger than Baker. So, I mean, you're getting a lot with Molden. I think there's a lot that you could, you know, where you could put him in different spots. So I'll see that as an opportunity just to kind of get him more playing time, but also allow the influx of Farley and the rotation of Fulton and all of those guys. So you can never have enough corners. I think that's something we learned last year. And that being said, Breon Borders is still a factor. And you know what? I'll say this about Borders. I was impressed with him on a couple snaps the first day that Julio Jones came out there. I was impressed with how he stuck with him on a couple reps.
What about Chris Jackson? Joe Rexroth brought him up the other day, and Floyd said last year he thought Jackson was more of a safety than he was a corner, who was playing corner by necessity. When we talk about the Amani Hooker role with Hooker moving to a full-time starting position, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jackson maybe out there, and I know that they used him a lot here in this minicamp. What did you see from him?
Yeah, I could see him possibly, you know, getting some looks at safety. I think really he's going to just evolve into that Chris Milton role, in my opinion. You know, a guy that's really fast, gets down the field, and is a key part of the coverage unit. In my opinion, that's going to be his sticking point with the team, and I that's not a bad role to have. This team places a lot of value in special teams.
TD, I got a question about the tight ends, but it's not about me. It's the TD Power Hour, and the people want to weigh in, so we will do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your texts in, get your calls in. We're right to you next. The TD Power Hour, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. And again, right to your questions for TD about minicamp and the Titans. That's next. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. The TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. We go right to your phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And it wouldn't be the TD Power Hour if Chris from Titans and Truth didn't kick us off. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Chris.
Gentlemen, it's great to hear from you once again.
What's up, man?
What's up, homie? How's it going? Man, glad to always talk to y'all. My question for both of you is, another position I wanted to touch upon as I was listening. You know, we were talking about defensive line at one point maybe being a problem, and, you know, we bring in a Danico Autry, started, we signed, I believe, Aubrey Jones from Jacksonville, who has done some nice things. And now you got, of course, Murchison and Naquan Jones, the undrafted free agent. Defensive line is looking pretty deep. Maybe with Autry and Simmons, maybe they become the Broadway bullies and bully people up there on the front line. So, you know, they look like they have some good cohesion, at least in drill. So wanted to get your thoughts on the defensive line.
A little 215 to 615, Broadway bully, some terminology. I can't forget Tierre Tart, too. He's another really good one, a run stuffer. Really good. He's a solid pass rusher, too. I think they are very deep defensive line-wise, and I think a good player is going to get cut. And for me, you know, when I look at the rotation, is definitely something that you want to have. But I like the flexibility that they have as far as with Autry and with Simmons. Not only will those guys, you know, be interior players, but if you remember last year and even the year before, they put Simmons on the outside. And I've seen Autry, you know, be an outside player as well. You know, I'm talking about like, you know, 5-tech, 7-tech, that kind of look.
Sure.
And I think that's another aspect that you could just bring to the table. And I like those guys, especially when they do like those, they call them psycho blitzes or amoeba blitzes. I drew up one for Whiteboard Wednesday one time, and it's just where kind of like everybody stands up, right, and no one is down in a three-point stance, and the quarterback doesn't know who's rushing, who's dropping, or anything like that. And they have athletic players in Simmons and Autry and even Murchison. You know, these are all guys that they could use in that type of look. So there's a lot of flexibility up front. One other thing about the defensive line that cannot go unmentioned is Kenneche Udeze. Just call him Coach KU. That's probably the easier way to do it. But he's the assistant D-line coach. He was in the league. He played for the Vikings for a bit. And I could already see him helping these guys.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things with defensive line that I like, and Jeffrey Simmons talked about this last week, TD, about how he's spent a lot of time this offseason losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Simmons needs to lose weight, because when you see Simmons in real life, it's like, hey, you were meant to be on this earth to play football.
Yeah.
But I do think that I talked to a coach that knows Simmons real well, who says that with him, when he first got to Mississippi State, his weight was a little bit of a concern, but he managed it really well throughout his time there. I think this is just kind of sharpening it up a little bit. I would like to see them rotate those bodies in a lot early in the game this season, because I do believe in a lot of those names that you guys were talking about. And then that way you can really bring the heat with Autry and Simmons in the fourth quarter. And the other thing too, TD, I wonder what your impression was. I felt like Bud Dupree's press conference this week, Bud put his hand in the air and said, hey, mm-hmm. I am here mm-hmm. to make everybody better. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they need out of him this
mm-hmm.
year.
Absolutely. And just to kind of, you know, talk a little bit more about Simmons and his weight control, so to speak, his dieting. I talked to him last year, and he had cut out fried food. So this is just another progression. He said Doritos and those type of snacks, you know, are things that he's not doing. Better him than me. I can't, you know, cut the Doritos out of my diet. But, hey, it is what it is. But I think, you know, that's a good thing. But when you look at Bud Dupree, it goes back to what he said in that first press conference. He said, I am the guy that when there's a play to be made, I'm the one that's going to make it, and I feel I have to make it. But I want everyone else to have that same approach, to where it's time to make a play. Everyone feels that they're going to make the play. And the thing that I really liked was he said, you know, 11 guys out there ready to take your face off. And he talked about that dog mentality. So absolutely, he's already, you know, saying all the right things. Just look forward to him coming out and doing the right thing.
Caroline, what do we have in the text line for TD?
One texter texted in and said, last year everybody thought that Evans and Henry would be a double threat in the backfield. Do you still see that, especially now with the addition of Julio Jones?
Yeah, I think they will still be a double threat in the backfield. And the thing that you look at, I asked Todd Downing yesterday about just the whole, are there enough footballs to pass around concept. And he said that each week is going to present a different challenge. So what I like and what I gather from that is when they're playing a team that's really bad against the pass, guess what they're going to do? They're going to pass. When they're playing a team that's horrendous against the run, guess what they're going to do? They're going to run. So that's a good approach there.
Sam texted in and said, what are some matchups that you're looking forward to in practice? He said, I'm content with our moves on defense, but really wish we could have seen Malcolm Butler and Jackrabbit leading the way on defense.
Yeah, you have Malcolm Butler and Jackrabbit leading the way. Like, you know, if I had to go into a rumble, those are two guys I would love to have, because they're the feisty characters that, you know, they're not going to give up easily. But matchup-wise, I can't wait to just – I want to see – I want to see one-on-ones, receivers or DBs. I want to see, you know, when Caleb Farley is healthy, I want to see him and A.J. Brown go at it. Because you know what Farley said, right? He said free smoke, you know, for receivers that want to run some routes. And A.J. was like, hey, fall back, young fella. We're on the same team. I got you. So I want to see that. I want to see Jackrabbit going against, you know, Julio Jones. They did it from time to time in the NFC South. Now they're on the same team. I want to see those things. I want to see, you know, Taylor Lewan and Bud Dupree go at it, right? You know, on some of those pass pro drills. I want to see Roger Saffold and Jeffrey Simmons. I want to see Nate Davis and DeNico Autry. These are all things that I'm looking forward to. But I tell you the one matchup that I'm looking forward to more than any others, and it comes out of left field, Mason Kinsey in one-on-ones. That dude has the ability to make DBs look stupid. And I'm looking forward to watching that. He's so slippery and so quick. So I can't wait to watch that as well.
Katie, if you were John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, Todd Downing, and Rob Moore all put into one, how would you rank the wide receivers right now? We know Brown and Jones and Reynolds 1, 2, 3. How would you rank them, you know, after that? Because it sounds like you'd be giving Mason Kinsey a long look at making this roster.
I would give him a very, very long look. But after those three, you know, I know a lot of people talking about Westbrook and Kenny. In my opinion, Marcus Johnson is better. Marcus Johnson would actually be my number four right now. And I've seen him play slot. I've seen him play outside. He can play X or Z. I like what he brings to the table. And he's a big body. He could run. So you have the special teams part of it. So I would go Marcus Johnson. It's tough, man, because Cam Batson is a tough little guy, man. So, you know, you got to get him in there. I know Mike Vrabel, and they like him a lot. You could go – so let's say what I would do, right? I would – Marcus Johnson, Racy McMath, Mason Kinsey, and Batson. I would carry six receivers probably, right?
So not Fitzpatrick?
Oh, shoot. I forgot – Rob Moore, hey, Coach Rob, if you're listening, man, God bless you, man. God bless you.
I mean, they kind of have to carry. I think they kind of have to carry Fitzpatrick and McMath.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to carry because McMath is he's going to be their special teams, one of their aces there. So, yeah, that's tough, man.
And the other thing about McMath that you touched on, and Joe Retro told me that he noticed it both at rookie minicamp and at this mandatory minicamp, is what McMath has, you can't coach. You cannot coach that size, and you cannot coach that speed. So, Caroline, I mean, I know that, you know, you obviously LSU fan, LSU grad, covered LSU.
Uh-huh.
I never heard of Racy McMath until the Titans took him in the sixth round.
You heard of Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase?
I do know that, yes.
Yep, I think that'll do it.
Yeah, let me say this, too. Christian Fulton, when he was asked at Pro Day who – the next star is at LSU, he said none other than Racy McMath. This was obviously, you know, when he got drafted before this past season.
Yeah, Racy McMath is quick. Canadian Titan also texted in and said, can you at all elaborate on Elijah Molden not being impressive?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen him make plays on the ball. Like, it's not that he hasn't done anything to stand out. I guess I'll say it that way. I'm not disappointed with what I've seen from him. You know, he just hasn't done anything to stand out. And that's just, you know, as a guy who really likes his game, that's what I wanted to see. But, no, rest assured, Elijah Molden is coming along fine. The coaching staff is happy with his progression, how he's absorbing the playbook. There are no issues. So I want to make sure that that's not misconstrued. I just, you know, haven't been like, oh, wow, that was a really good play. You know, that's all.
Yeah. Brandon texted in and said, with the backup QB battle, would it not make more sense just to keep Kaiser as he is, more of a mobile quarterback, and play more of a Taysom Hill type of role?
Brandon is smart. I don't know about the Taysom Hill side of things, but I do like how he mentioned the mobile part of it. And for me, what I look at is, as a play caller, what I want is a guy who, if God forbid something happened to the starter, you could go to the backup and you don't have to adjust the playbook. And I think going from Tannehill to Kaiser, because of his big arm and how he could deliver the ball on that intermediate mid-range passing game across the middle, those type of things, and also down the field and how well he is on the move, you could boot him. A lot of the things that he does well are very similar to Ryan Tannehill. And let's not forget, this man was a second-round pick just 3 years ago, right? 4 years ago. So there's clearly some talent there. Now, the thing that I do like about Logan Woodside is He is a guy that will come in there and he will make that offense go. Logan Woodside has kind of like that Jeff Garcia to him. Like, he may not push the ball down the field as well, but he will give everything he got in the mid-range passing game and the checkdowns and, you know, the short passing game and that type of thing. And you'll just win with a lot of paper cuts as opposed to gashing.
DeShone Kizer, good celebrity softball player. I know that.
He was a good softball player.
I mean, he hit a ball, I think, to the wall.
Did
at
he?
First Horizon Park. And we were talking to the dugout after he hit it. And I said, were you trying to hit the ball out of the park, or did you just throw your hands at it? He goes, this time I threw my hands at it. Next time I'm trying to hit the ball out of the park. And I will say this for DeShone Kizer. First of all, I think DeShone Kizer, Brian Kelly came out when he declared for the draft and said he probably should have stayed another year. He then goes to Cleveland, and we know Cleveland at that point was a total mess and has kind of bounced around the league. I think to your point, TD, with that arm, if he comes into a game, if he's the backup quarterback, I think it's easier for somebody like him when it's, hey, just get the ball in the area, Julio Jones. Just get the ball in the area, A.J. Brown, and let those guys make plays. I think it's a lot easier than it was with what he was working with in Cleveland.
Yeah, having them helps, definitely helps.
TD, I got one last question for you, and it is going back to Janoris Jenkins. If you had to pick one guy to play outside corner, Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, Janoris Jenkins, contracts aside, which guy do you think would be the best corner?
I'm going with Jenkins. And I think really the proof is in the pudding. Since, you know, over the last 5 years, you know, he is what, third or fourth in interceptions? You know, the guy has plenty of pass breakups. He scores the football when he catches it. That's another thing. So, yeah, I'm going with Jenkins. Now, I will say this. You will have times where, you know, a little whoop-whoop would get him. You know what I mean? Because he gambles. He jumps routes a lot. But at the same time, if he and the safety could be on the same page consistently, you're in good shape. If I had to go in order, I'm going Jenkins, Butler, then Adoree Jackson, and I really like Adoree as a guy. I think his talent is there, but I just don't think like that killer. At least what I've seen here, I didn't see that killer from him.
TD, as always, good to talk to you on Thursday. We've got some Thursdays to go until training camp, but I know you can't wait, and I know this is a big week for talking with TD.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We have Stephen Whitehead, who trains Alshon Jeffrey, your buddy, Jadeveon Clowney. We got into it a little bit about Julio Jones and just what he's seen. He has some pretty good nuggets as far as what Jones could do to prolong his career. So definitely check that out. And then Jordan Matthews, you know, he dished about Vanderbilt and, you know, the future there at the receiver position. But he gave us some breaking news, right? We're breaking news on Talking with TD. And he said that he's converting to tight end. He's actually right there in Louisville at your college working with the assistant tight ends coach, Stu Holt, as well as wide receiver coach, Gunter Brewer. He's put on 30 pounds, and he's ready to go at tight end. So that's something else to kind of throw into your tight end conversation. And that's the show this week. And, of course, Chris Sanders, you know, we're talking shop, run TMC.
Yeah, Chris Sanders talking crazy. I know that. I know there's some of that. TD, as always, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, we'll talk next week.
All right. Appreciate you.
Yep, TD joining us on the program. Let me say this about Jordan Matthews. I know a team that might be in the market for a tight end. When Jordan Matthews played at Vanderbilt, I thought he was going to the NFL to be a superstar. He was the best, honestly, outside of, and I'm trying to think in my head, Julio Jones, Percy Harvin, some of the guys that have come through Alabama recently, but they're different. I mean, he was a game wrecker. And when he got to the NFL, he played, but he just never was what I thought he would be after what he was at Vanderbilt. Speaking of tight ends, coming up next, did Mike Vrabel give us a hint that the Titans might not be done this offseason? We'll discuss next. Stelman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.